Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Double Play Podcast. In this episode, Jack and I are going to be giving out our monthly awards for the month of April. Without further ado, let's get into it.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to Double Play Baseball. In this video, Ryan and I are going to give out our monthly awards for the month of April. We do this every single month. This time it's a little different because there's April and like 2 days of March, but we're just going to give out our MLB awards for the first month of the year. We do this for every single month, as I mentioned. We're going to give out Player of the Month, Pitcher of the Month, Rookie of the Month, and then Surprise of the Month. The first three will be for every single league, so the American League and the National League. And the Surprise is just an overall for the entire month of the MLB season. Ryan, how are you doing today? And do you want to run us through, first of all, just our Team of the Month that we put out on Instagram and Twitter?
Yeah, I'm doing wonderful. School's wrapping up, which means more time for baseball watching and baseball content. So I'm excited for that. You should get excited too. And for the team of the month, let's just run through these names. At catcher, let's start with Jonah Heim from the Texas Rangers, Yandy Diaz at first base, Luis Arraez, who got on base like 50% of the time in the month at second base, Matt Chapman, who you're going to hear about a little bit more later at third base, Bo Bichette is the shortstop, Randy Orozarena, Mike Trout, and Ronald Acuna are in the outfield, some familiar names there. DH, another familiar name, it's Shohei Ohtani. Starting pitcher, Gerrit Cole. And finally, the closer, David Bednar, as our relief pitcher of the month. So there you go. That's our team of the month. We put that out on Instagram a few days earlier, so make sure you're following the Instagram. A little plug there to get all that kind of content a little earlier.
I think, didn't we go with Xander Bogaerts at shortstop, not Bo Bichette? I want to say we went with Xander.
I was just going off memory.
You know, I think we went with Xander Bogaerts, and I don't even think I think Bo was like third.
Oh yeah, we did go Bogaerts. So
what are you doing with your memory? Come on,
my memory is bad.
Well, we have finals on our mind. We have moving out, packing up. The funny thing is, it was like Xander and Wander, which are two very similar names with an X and a W at the front. But yeah, Xander Bogaerts is the shortstop, but you know, all those guys had great months. Bo Bichette's one of those guys, as an honorable mention, that you want to have on the team. Wander Franco was one. I mean, there's guys that we left off, like Jared Kelenic, who we might talk about later as well, but some of these guys that got left off the team. There's even a player that got a Player of the Month award from one of us that didn't even end up being on the team of the month because he plays with another guy that's at the same position that's even better. So it was a crazy month, and it ran a really fun first month of the season. Let's start it off with Player of the Month, giving out our awards. And Ryan, do you want to start us off? In the American League, let's start American League.
I'm going with the American League. It's a guy I mentioned and we talked about a little later. I went Matt Chapman, who also won the MLB's Player of the Month. You're going to talk about someone else, but Matt Chapman had a ridiculous month, a 220 WRC plus. He hit 384. His OPS was 1.152 and put up almost two WAR in the month. So that's just ridiculous pace. We know what he can do on the defensive end as well. He had a great month and he wins my Player of the Month.
Yeah, he leads the major leagues in WAR. He's a player, Matt Chapman, who I was kind of out on a couple years ago. I think it was 2021 with the A's. It was his final season in Oakland. Set the A's single season strikeout record. Didn't have a whole ton of power. The defense surprisingly took a step back for the first time in his career. Then he goes to Toronto. I wasn't really sure what to expect. And, you know, this year he's back to that elite level third baseman. And, you know, we just hope he can keep it up for the entire season. I thought about going Matt Chapman.
That's in his contract year too. So I was on the opposite end of the spectrum. I always had belief in him, a guy I thought could do well, because, like I said, you know what he can do on the defensive end at his peak, and I kind of believed in the bat, and so far it's been good this season. We'll see if he can keep it up over the course of 162.
Yeah, well, if he does, I mean, it's going to be a bidding war, because, you know, the position player market this offseason, not the strongest. You know, there's good starting pitching, but Matt Chapman could go in as like one of the biggest bats on the free agent market, and, you know, Toronto, we'll see if they'd want to pay him. I'm sure there'd be a lot of bidders for Matt Chapman, but we hope he can keep it up, because, you know, baseball's fun when Matt Chapman's good, and the Blue Jays, the offense is even scarier when Matt Chapman is this good. I went a different route. I went with Shohei Ohtani as my Player of the Month in the American League, and here's why. I think that Shohei Ohtani still isn't quite getting the respect that he deserves, because we all expect this from him on, you know, a daily level, a monthly level, a yearly level. This is what we expect from Shohei Ohtani. He was top 10 in both WRC plus and ERA, but I don't think people quite understand just how impressive that is. And so I want to give him his flowers early in the season so people don't just start writing it off as like, oh yeah, well, this is Shohei. This is MVP level stuff he's doing. And he didn't win the MVP last year despite having a very similar season to the year he won it because of Aaron Judge. This season, I'm back on that train. I want Shohei Ohtani to get a second MVP because he's putting up MVP level numbers and we shouldn't take those for granted. A 146 WRC plus, which was 10th in the American League, an ERA at 2.25, which was 5th in the American League. He had 7 home runs at the plate with 18 runs batted in, still managed to steal 5 bases too. And then he's tied for the 3rd in the American League with 11.57 strikeouts per 9 innings. Through 28 innings, had 7 home runs at the plate, almost hit for the cycle in one game. Like, there's not much that Shohei Ohtani can't do, and he really showed it all in the month of, you know, 2 days of March and the month of April. And so I went with him as my American League Player of the Month.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what it came down to a little bit. You alluded to it. We're expecting it, and it's kind of it's just something we see this kind of month. And honestly, as you're running through that in my head, I was like, okay, that's good. Like
I will not stand for this level of thinking anymore.
It's just it's something I've been accustomed to, and I think he was both kind of a really good hitter and a really good pitcher. And so maybe that's why I didn't go for it. If he was like the best in one of them, I obviously when you get combined both of those, it on paper, if someone is a really good hitter and a really good pitcher, they should win it every month. So maybe that's me kind of I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but kind of just used to it by now, I guess. So Shohei, obviously he's a freak and can't do much about it.
Who's your National League Player of the Month?
National League Player of the Month, the guy who you mentioned wasn't on the team of the month, another, I guess, technically third baseman, Max Muncy of the Dodgers, and I think this might be a tad bit bias sneaking in, but 180 WRC plus, he had 11 bombs on the month, and he just hit another one yesterday. It was a walk-off grand slam. You were at the game, so not in April, so it doesn't apply to this, but a 425 ISO powered number where it's 250 is kind of elite when you talk about over the course of a season. So 425 in a month is amazing, and then the OPS above 1,000. So he had a great month. The casuals won't see it as much because he's hitting like 240 or something, and it was a guy who had a slow start to the year too, a slow start to the month, and then had that trip to San Francisco that kind of brought him alive, where he had 4 bombs in 2 games after sitting out one of the games as well. So he left it up to Oracle Park to get him going, and I'm happy for it.
And I mean, he's one of those guys where like he hit those 11 home runs, and he had 80 at bats. And when some of these other guys that we're talking about have in the hundreds, maybe 120 at bats. So just the amount of times he comes up, the amount of times he hits a home run, the ratio is just crazy. I did not go in that direction, and maybe you can call it anti-bias, but I don't, you know, I think he would have come second for me, but I think the guy that I went with is deserving of the award, and that's Ronald Acuña Jr. He's my National League Player of the Month. He had the top WAR in the National League with 1.6, you know, coming back from injury this year after a down year last year for his standards. But he has in the month, he had a 353 batting average, a 445 on base, and a 559 slug. That's good for a 171 WRC plus. So slightly lower than Muncy, but he's giving, I think, a little bit more on the base paths, on defense, and he played in more games for the Braves than Muncy did for the Dodgers as well. 4 home runs, 14 runs batted in, and lead the entire major leagues with those 12 stolen bases. So I think you're looking at an all-around player that I want to give the award to. That's Ronald Acuña Jr. But it was close for me between Acuña and Muncy.
And Acuña is a guy who has just been so good so far, and he needed this, I want to say. He came off that down year kind of to his standards, like you said, with a lot of speculation. He was still healing, but even towards the end of the year, he wasn't what he was at the beginning of 2021, where he kind of was running away with the MVP award, frankly, until he got hurt towards ACL, of course. And so it looks like he's back to 2021 Ronald Acuña. And even though I give the player of the month to Muncy, I'd say if I had to give out National League MVP for the first month, you'd probably go Acuña. I'd say he's the leader thus far in the season.
Yeah, and you know, those are two guys that are playing for two of the best teams in the National League. I know we don't really give out a team award, but so impressed with the Braves so far. I know we were expecting them to be good, but they're just, I mean, they're mauling teams right now. I mean, I think they put up 13 runs on the Marlins the other day. They hit Jesus Luzardo pretty well today. It's been hard to get anyone out in that lineup, and they've dealt with some injuries as well. We were talking about Michael Harris off camera, but they've kind of bounced back, and it's been due in large part to Ronald Acuña Jr. It felt like, you know, he's that spark plug for the team where they had guys last year that still really performed but didn't get it done in the end. And you kind of always felt like this is Acuña's team. He drives the ship, and he really has been throughout the month so far this season. And, you know, hopefully he can be able to keep it up, because kind of talking about some of these other players, the game is better when Ronald Acuña Jr. is at his peak.
And moving on to the pitchers now, once again, starting the American League. I went different from what we had on our team of the month. I went Sonny Gray, and originally I was going to go Garrett Cole, and that's who the MLB gave it to. But looking at Sonny Gray, only five less innings at 35 innings pitched, under a one ERA at 0.77 and a 10.54 Ks per nine, which was higher than Garrett Cole, lower ERA. So it really was very close between the two. It was kind of a toss-up for me. Went here to be a little bit different, and I think he's deserving of the recognition that he got, that he deserves, like I said. And he's been great for a Twins team that's kind of surpassing my expectations a little bit. They're first in the division right now. I know that's what you had them win in that division. So Sonny Gray is my pitcher of the month for the American League.
I was wondering, I didn't quite hear what you just said. Could you, like, repeat it?
I doubted that.
Yeah, no, it's good to hear. Thank you. I needed to hear that for a second time. I went the other way. I did go Garrett Cole. I wanted to go Sonny Gray. There were a couple of reasons why I went with Cole. I'm a big believer in, you know, if you get more outs than the other guy, you're providing more value for your team. Garrett Cole threw 40 and two-thirds innings pitched in the month, leads the MLB in WAR among pitchers through April with 1.7. He still had a really good ERA, 1.11, really good Ks per nine, 9.74. Another one of the big differences for me is Garrett Cole, throughout the start of the season up until now, he goes against the other team's ace every single day, and he provides the Yankees, a team that has disappointed slightly, a really good chance to win every single day. I mean, I know it's really impressive what Sonny Gray has done, but Garrett Cole, giving the length that he has given to the Yankees so far, and then also just going out there and battling aces. It started in the first day of the season, first game of the year. Logan Webb sets the Giants strikeout opening day record for a pitcher. Garrett Cole just goes, does the exact same thing for the Yankees, and the Yankees win in a shutout performance. So, you know, just a guy that I think a lot of people have doubted, including you, Garrett Cole. I wanted to show him some love and give him the American League Pitcher of the Month.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want to hear it again, another guy that I've doubted and you were kind of higher on than I was, I left him out of my top 25 player rankings. I believe you had him in there, or maybe yep.
I think I was pretty shocked to see that you didn't have him in there.
I think I said he was in my honorable mentions when we did that around Christmas time. So a guy that I doubted a little bit, and so far he's kind of, and I'll stick by what I said. I think his numbers up to this point haven't been great, but a guy who's, I guess, proven me wrong. He's putting up better numbers this time around, and he's been great so far for the Yankees. For a team that kind of, without him, like you mentioned, they're disappointing now. Without Garrett Cole, the Yankees are frankly ugly right now. And they're 17-15 with him. And when you're pitching 40 innings with a 1-1 ERA as your ace, and you're just around 500 last in the division that everyone thought they were going to win, or at least be on the top of, to be last there with a guy who was pitching to be pitcher of the month, and guy who broke a home run record last year and was looking like he was on pace through the first couple of weeks to break his own record, and he goes down, but that's Judge. But Garrett Cole's been phenomenal, even if I doubted him a little bit.
I mean, his big problem was the home run ball. I'm curious, you know, looking through current stats, through 46 and two-thirds innings pitched, how many home runs do you think he's given up?
I'll say two or three.
Zero. Garrett Cole's not giving up a home run yet, which, if he's not giving up the long ball, especially in Yankee Stadium, which is, it's easy to give up a home run if you're going down either one of the lines, it's a dangerous sight for the rest of the league, because if you're not hitting the ball out on Garrett Cole, you're not hitting the ball anywhere else, really. He's striking guys out, not allowing hard contact, and if he can, you know, really limit the one thing that has turned him into more of a human pitcher these last couple years, we could be seeing, you know, vintage Garrett Cole from that, you know, 2017 range.
And I'm going to say that's, mark that nap down. That's going to be the double play jinx. He next pitches on Sunday. I guarantee he'll give up a couple of bombs after you said that.
Who does he, do you know who he pitches against?
The Rays.
Well, yeah, there it is. And so they're going to hit, you know, 12 runs and all of them earned, probably six home runs. Sorry, Garrett. Let's go to the National League. Who's your National League pitcher of the month?
I went with Spencer Strider, and this is kind of a reverse bias. I gave my bias for Muncy winning the player of the month. And I won't give Kershaw the pitcher of the month, although Kershaw has been phenomenal. And I think really what it came down to, I think Strider had, actually, I think Strider might have had less innings than Kershaw because he missed a start, or the way it came in the rotation, he had his extra start like right in May. But 30 innings pitched, a 1.8 ERA, and really what it came down to for me was the 14.7 Ks per nine, and nine straight starts with nine plus Ks, which actually got broken the other day. I think that's what it was. He had a start early May, so that's why he's a start behind. But nine straight starts with nine Ks to start the year. And when you're striking out 15 guys a game, or per nine innings, that is, it's just ridiculous. And he looks good doing it. The quads on the mound kind of just powers you. He looks so intimidating with that mustache. And he's got the stuff to be an ace for a while.
Yeah, I told you, I thought you were making a mistake trading him away in our Dynasty Fantasy Baseball League. And you just, I mean, the stuff that he has, with DeGrom being hurt, you know, right now, I'm not really sure there's a comparable guy in the league. That I think Strider has the best stuff in Major League Baseball. You know, he hasn't given, you know, some of the length that some of these guys have, like Gerrit Cole, through, as we mentioned, almost 41 innings in the month. But I don't think there's anyone that's pitching more confidently or pitching with better stuff right now than Spencer Strider. I almost went with him. It is the, you know, the sample size that made me limit him. Thought about Kershaw as well. He probably would have been second for me. First place for me, at least, for National League Pitcher of the Month was Zach Gallen of the Arizona Diamondbacks. 37 and two-thirds innings pitched, a 2.15 ERA, so still really respectable, especially when compared to Strider's. 1.7 WAR to lead the National League, and 12.19 Ks per nine. So he's not even that far behind, despite not being as much of a strikeout pitcher when you compare him to Strider. And the big thing for me was a 28-inning scoreless streak to end the month. I mean, Gallen's a guy who did not start off very well, but then rattled off, and that's four straight starts of seven innings pitched where he did not give up any earned runs. Lost that his first start in May, but still a very impressive streak. And Zach Gallen, a guy who I think everyone wants to root for, was a very big dark horse Cy Young, or maybe even not dark horse considering how good he was last year, but a very trendy pick for National League Cy Young this offseason, and it's looking to be a pretty good pick coming into the first month of the year. I think he was the best pitcher in the National League throughout March and April.
And for the D-backs, that was kind of important to them. And that's a guy you needed to pitch at this level in order to be atop the NL West, or at least in the playoff picture like they wanted to be at the end of the year. A lot of people had them finishing in third above the Giants. I think I was going to, but your guilt kind of cost me on that.
And sorry about that.
I ended up picking them fourth, like a game or two behind the D-backs. But D-backs have looked good so far. Zach Gallen's a big reason why. And a guy they needed to do that in order to be in the position they're at.
Let's go to the Rookie of the Month. And, you know, we've had different picks for everything except the National League Rookie of the Month. This was the easiest one I think we've ever had to pick, and I know it makes you happy. I think this is a guy that we were both so high on, and, you know, not to kind of toot our own horns, but we were on James Outman a little bit before the general public was on James Outman. So why don't you introduce what he did throughout the first month of the year?
Yeah, I mean, I put out a tweet the other day. I was reading this MLB.com article. It was most surprising players, and he was the second. And I was like, not to us. We're not surprised. But he had a 165 WRC plus, seven bombs in the month, which was the most among Dodger rookies ever in a single month, and a 991 OPS. He was put I think the second most WAR in the National League total between any other player. Obviously, the most among rookies. So he's been great. He's been flashing some leather too. He's got some speed on the base pass. He's had that big go-ahead grand slam in Chicago, kind of his signature moment of the month. And, you know, he was, I mean, it wasn't like serious consideration, but he was up there in terms of National League Player of the Month as well. And no other rookie really came close. And he deserved this Rookie of the Month.
Yeah, just missed out on making the team in the month. I think we kind of argued about it, but it was our fourth outfielder. We wanted to put him on the team, but just didn't quite fit with some of the guys that we included. But James Outman, a guy that, you know, we watched last year in a big Giants-Dodgers series, he played in a couple games and had a million hits kind of out of nowhere, then got sent down for the rest of the year, never came back up. And I think Giants fans were wondering, this dude tormented us. Why is he, what's he doing in AAA? Coming into this offseason and into spring training, the big question was, will Almond make the major league roster? I think we both said, well, he probably should based off last year. And then we go to spring training. We're watching on the backfields. It's Altman against some of the relievers just taking live at-bats. It was Fessia who we homered off first. And then I think the next pitch he saw and the next live at-bat, was it Daniel Hudson who he took yard? But he had two back-to-back home runs off of Dodger relievers.
It was Evan Phillips. And then we left. And then I saw on Twitter later, he took Daniel Hudson deep later too. And I mean, you mentioned he barely made the team. He only made the team because of Gavin Lux's injury. He was actually the 26th player. He only made it because of injury, and he wasn't supposed to be there. And turned into kind of, he platooned at the start of the year, and he took off. And Dave Roberts was forced to not platoon him. Now he's an everyday player and kind of a big part of the middle of the order for the Dodgers so far.
Yeah, we talked about him Rookie of the Year race as well as a dark horse, and we were both saying, kind of think he might win the whole thing. It like almost picked him to do it because the Dodgers feel like they have a Rookie of the Year every single year, and it looks like it's going to be James Altman this year. Let's move to the American League. We disagree once again. Who are you going with for American League Rookie of the Month?
I went with Masataka Yoshida, who was doubted a little bit by not just the public, but MLB execs going into this year as well. The contract that the Red Sox gave him, I forget the numbers, but some MLB anonymous, of course, MLB execs were saying they way overpaid. They could have got him for slightly cheaper. Like, no one was even in the ballpark of what the Red Sox gave him. And then he goes and puts up a 129 WRC plus with four homers in the month. And he had another one today. He's been super hot. I think it was a 14 game hitting streak I think he's on right now, and doesn't really strike out. He puts bat on ball, only 10.8K percentage. Among the best in the league. So he's kind of exceeded expectations for a Red Sox team that's also kind of exceeding expectations. I mean, they're 18-14, which is fourth in the division, but kind of, at least for me, I know we were different opinions on the Red Sox going into this year, and they're playing well. Yoshida's been a big reason why in that lineup, and he's kind of playing up to his contract right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about Yoshida a lot this offseason because we were pretty critical of the Red Sox. You know, I think we were wondering, you know, why was the contract so big? I think we thought Yoshida would be a good player, definitely at least serviceable, but wondering, you know, how will he adjust to major league play? And it's a lot like what we saw with Seiya Suzuki last year, where he just came in and started hitting the crap out of the ball for the first month. And then the question just becomes, when the pitchers start adjusting to him, how will the Red Sox and he adjust to the different changes they make? And that's, you know, then you'll see whether he'll have a season like Suzuki did last year, where it kind of tapered off and has tapered off this season as well, or can he keep this up? But, you know, right now it's looking like a slam dunk signing for the Boston Red Sox. I definitely considered Yoshida as well. We can give a shout out to Josh Young of the Texas Rangers, who I think had two homers the other day as well, but not in the month, but he had a really good March. I'm going with Hunter Brown, the right-hand pitcher for the Houston Astros. He's my American League Rookie of the Month. Surprisingly, he's been the best starting pitcher on the Astros so far. Better than Framber Valdez, who was very high up in that Cy Young ranking last year. Better than Christian Javier, who I predicted to win the Cy Young this year. He has a 2.37 ERA and 30 and a third innings pitched across the first month. 9.49 strikeouts per nine. That 2.37 ERA is the eighth best in the American League, you know, just behind guys like Shohei Ohtani, who I gave Player of the Month to. So I'm going with Hunter Brown for American League Rookie of the Month, and a guy that, you know, we thought could be a real breakout for them, and I still think he can, and I'm excited to see what he can do for the full season.
Yeah, I definitely believed in him, and it was another guy kind of like Altman. He was, I think, went into this year as their sixth guy in the rotation, so he was kind of like maybe going to get some innings here or there, and it's really been kind of a tale of two, not really extremes, but one of the extremes being the really good. He's gone seven innings shutout three times so far this season, and then two kind of subpar, not really bad starts mixed in. So, I mean, he's two starts away from probably being the pitcher of the month, and then had another okay start against the Giants the other day. But he's shown flashes that he can provide gems for the Astros, and he's already had a couple of them, three of them in six starts so far this year. So if you can kind of, I guess, work through some things, be a little bit more consistent, not seven shutout innings every fifth day, kind of consistent. But you're looking at a future ace in this rotation who, like you said, has kind of two already at the top up there that could be considered an ace. So this is definitely a good pick for American League Rookie of the Year. Another guy that I believed in, and going into this year, I remember we got into a little bit over fantasy baseball. I picked him. I was like, if all my rookies pan out, I'm a dynasty. I said something along those lines. And Hunter Brown was one of those rookies, and James Outman was another one. So I'm looking good so far. Hunter Brown has been great in the month.
Yeah, you kind of stole both of them from me. I was looking to draft them. So congratulations to you. Hats off. 4-0, right, in fantasy baseball?
I am 4-0.
Everyone give Ryan a little bit of a hats off after, you know, disappointing performance in the playoffs last year.
Been grinding.
So those are our, you know, the main awards. We've done pitcher, we've done player, we've done rookie. Let us know down in the comment section if you're watching on YouTube who you would have gone with for these awards. Do you agree with us? Do you agree with one of us specifically? Or are you going completely off the board with someone that we didn't mention? Let us know. We have one more award. We don't do American League and National League for this one. Just one pick in general, and that's surprise of the month. Could be a player, could be a team, could be kind of a theme. Can really be anything. Who's your surprise of the month pick?
My surprise of the month is just the Pirates. And keep tooting my own horn a little bit. I didn't think they'd be this good, but I said going into the year, I'm like, am I crazy to think that the Pirates, like, low key have a solid team? And 20-12, best record in the National League. Not best record in the National League anymore. They got, after they get swept by the Rays and the Braves overtake them, but they had the best record in the league in the National League for the month of April. 20-12, first place in that division. No one expected them to be here, and it to kind of take away my credit a little bit. The reason I believed in so much is because I kind of liked their lineup, and I thought they had some underrated guys, and then of course Brian Reynolds at the top, and I liked McCutchen, what he could bring, at least like kind of in the clubhouse, and he's performed well on the field. But really where it's came from is their starting pitching has been phenomenal. They led the league by a considerable margin in quality starts for some time, and they had a certain number of quality starts in a row from their starting pitching. So it's really been kind of that has been the reason there at this point. And then Bednar, who's been lights out closing games, kind of securing those wins for them. He was our reliever of the month. So it's been great to see the Pirates kind of proving me right a little bit and then some. And so it's kind of a little like, oh yeah, I thought they'd be good. So my friend goes like, why, what's up with the Pirates? Why have they been so good? I was like, well, I expected it, you know? You know what I'm saying? So Pirates have been
flex. Yep. Yeah, just the anti-double play baseball curse, which probably means that they're going to go 12-20 next month, but whatever.
One more thing I wanted to add about the Pirates, and we were going to make a kind of a whole little episode, a little video about them, but it kind of begs the question, can they keep it up? Because we don't have to answer this question for the sake of time, but if you go out another 10-3 run and get a little hot here, and you're looking at 30-15, that's with 120 games left. If you play 500 ball the rest of the way, which still kind of above a lot of people's expectations, but if you're 40 games in and you're still atop, and you're 45 games at that point, and you've won 30 out of 45, that's almost a stretch that can carry you for the season. And if you go 500 ball the rest of the way, you're still looking at a 90 win team. So even if they can play above, I guess, their standards before the season, you're looking at a team that can potentially make a playoff push in a weaker Central.
Yeah, the craziest thing to me is they've done it without real contributions from O'Neill Cruz and Ke'Bryan Hayes. You know, Cruz went down with the injury. I believe Hayes has been injured as well. But those are supposed to be your two big cornerstone pieces on the left side of the infield. They haven't really been contributing. It's been, you know, Vince Velasquez of all people, and you know, Keller. We're talking about Bednar, and Reynolds had that great start to the year, but they're getting production from everyone. I want to shout out Jack Sawinski as well, you know, a rookie last year that kind of flew under the radar but impressed us as we did our, you know, preseason positional rankings. just everyone's hitting for the Buccos right now. I think you got that leadership from Andrew McCutchen. Everything is just kind of coming together, and it's fun to see. It'll be interesting to see whether they can keep it up. I will remind them, the Angels had a really good start to last year too, and it did not go so well, down the stretch. So this happens to teams, but we're obviously rooting for a team like the Pirates that's really been in the stellar for quite a long time to bounce back, and I hope that we can see that from them. My surprise, we've talked about the Rays a lot, so they would have been a good surprise pick as well, but didn't want to go with them because at this point, everyone knows they're the real big surprise. So I went with Jared Kelenic, a player that we shouted out earlier, just barely missed out being team of the month, but had the sixth best WAR in the entire American League at 1.2, a .310 batting average, and a .631 slug, which gives him the second best slugging percentage in the AL throughout the first month of the season. 180 WRC plus, hit 7 home runs in the month. And Kelenic, a guy we really wanted to believe in when he was coming up a couple seasons ago. I think we both kind of said he's going to be the rookie of the year. Didn't play well that year, didn't play well last year. Came into this season, no one really knew what to expect. And I'll admit, I lost a lot of faith in Jared Kelenic over the last two seasons. Always believed in the talent, but I just, when you see that many games at the major league level without real production, it's kind of hard to keep banging the table for a guy like that. But he has really proven all of the haters wrong throughout the first month of the year. I drafted him in fantasy baseball. Ended up trading him away for Brian Reynolds. I'm not sure whether that was a good move or not yet, but if he continues to play like this, I'll probably regret it. I think he comes back down a bit. I'm not sure he's a 180 WRC plus player for the entire year, but if you're getting a season 30 plus homers, 40 plus homers maybe from Jared Kelenic, and you're the Seattle Mariners, he's that missing piece you needed in that outfield, and it's really good to see a prospect of that caliber after such a tough start to his career for two seasons really bounce back in a big way.
And I didn't even actively hate on Kelenic. It was a guy that I completely wrote off, to be frank with you. It was just prospect that didn't pan out. And that's kind of where I was at on it. And obviously he's doing this now. And he's probably been the biggest surprise for me. Talk about some other guys who could have been here. Outman of people who were surprised by it. We mentioned earlier, we weren't surprised by that. Bellinger, another guy who's played really well. I don't know if I said this on here or not, but I told you I thought that he could at least bounce back to some degree. So Kelenic, guy that completely wrong on, biggest surprise to me so far, player-wise, has been Kelenic for sure.
It's one of those where, you're so wrong, but it feels good to be wrong because Kelenic's a guy that, we've wanted to see succeed. And, prospects like this where they have so many tools, when it doesn't work out, you just kind of feel like, well, what if? What could have been? And, perhaps off to Kelenic for not giving up after two seasons of being, you call him that kind of 4A player where he killed AAA but could not hit in the major leagues and really figured it out through spring training. We got to be at Mariner spring training. We got to see him, take batting practice. He was really locked in, still walked around with a smile on his face and, just the mental strength it takes to battle through those first two seasons and come out, where he has been this first month. It's really impressive and, couldn't happen to a better guy. And we're really excited to see what Jared Kelenic can continue to do. And, the Mariners have been a disappointing team so far, but you feel like once Julio Rodriguez gets going, when you have that starting rotation that has to pitch without Robbie Ray now, but we've talked about the depth before, once the Mariners start rolling, if Kelenic is a big piece of that, they could be a dangerous team.
That's all we have for our monthly awards today. Let us know down below what you thought about this. Follow us on all of our socials as well to see more Double Play content, because I know if you're here, everyone wants more Double Play content, and we're going to be bringing a lot more of that to you in the coming weeks and months once we get into the summer, get going watching some more baseball. And we're kind of at the point of the year where results matter a little bit, and you can kind of chalk things up in the past to, okay, it's just a hot start, beginning of the month, doesn't really matter. But teams, players, time to start buying into results. And so when guys putting up a good full month like this, it's time to take note. So excited to lock into some baseball in the coming weeks and months as we kind of get going with the dog days of summer. But that's all we have here today. We'll see you guys next time. We've been Double Play. I've been Ryan. That's been Jack. See you guys next time.